Father God, thank you so much that we can boldly approach your throne because of our one mediator, Jesus Christ. Because of what he's done on the cross for us and the faith that we have in him, we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Lord, what a blessing that is. Let us never run past that. Let us never take it for granted. Every time that we approach you in prayer, Lord, let us give thanks for the position that we can have in Christ Jesus. Those of us who were strangers and aliens, outcasts and orphans, now we're sons and daughters. We're your kids, Lord, because of what Jesus has done. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that right now, as we continue to worship you, that you would use your word to impact our hearts. Do not let us leave here the same way that we walked in. Instead, Lord, would you use your word that's living and active, profitable for correction, reproof, and training in all righteousness. Lord, would you use your word to cut to our hearts the things that we are holding back, the sins that we don't want to give up, the things that we are unaware of in our own lives, that we are still living like the old self. Lord, would you bring those to the surface? Would you search our hearts? Lead us to the way everlasting. Lord, as you search our hearts and as you use your word to convict us and to challenge us, would you also use your word to comfort us? Would you bless us as we hear your word, Lord? Would you remind us of your goodness and your grace and your love? Remind us of who you are. And as we see you so clearly, Lord, may we respond to the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. And as he works in our lives, Lord, I pray that we would not quench him, but instead, Lord, that we would allow him to conform us to the image of your Son, our Savior, the Savior that we can boldly approach because of what he's done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to have each of you here today. What a beautiful morning. It's sun shining and spring is fall. It feels like spring, though, doesn't it? Praying for fall. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. These words found in Psalm 119 are words that I think you and I, we have to live by every single day of our lives. I think too often in life, we look at the problems that we encounter. We look at the weight of the world that feels is on our shoulders. We look and are confronted with our own sin. And we're confronted with other people's sin. We're confronted with horrible situations. Or we just get into an apathetic routine in life. And in the midst of those things that we encounter in life, so often our default is to run to something other than God's word. Our default is to trust our own intellect. Our default is to trust our own wisdom and experience. Our default is to run to others and hear their expert advice. Our default is not always to run to God's word. A lot of times we treat God's word and prayer to the God of the universe, we treat those things as the last resort. When the other stuff doesn't work, might as well pray. When I can't quite find the answers, might as well see what the Bible has to say. No, folks, when we encounter life, when we try to walk this life that's ahead of us, we have to have the first line of defense be God's word and prayer. There is no other way that we will be able to encounter this life and thrive in this life if we are disconnected from God's word and if we are disconnected from the Lord in prayer. A few Sundays ago, we talked about prayer and the importance of prayer, and we recognize that prayer for the believer is as important as breathing is to the human being. I would say that reading your Bible, spending time soaking up God's Word, is just as important to the believer as eating is to the human being. If you don't eat, you're going to starve. And if you don't fill your heart and your mind with God's Word, you will starve. What happens here on a Sunday morning, it's good. It's excellent. Together on a Sunday morning, we open up God's Word and we dive in and we spend time hearing from the Lord and receiving His Word. But if that is your only diet of God's Word, if you're only eating once a week, oh, I feel for you. You ought to be picking up the spoon every single day and diving into God's Word. Because how else will you keep yourself from sin? How else will your heart be guarded from the things that would come and attack you? How else will your light be and your path be lit? How else will we walk through this life in a way that pleases our Lord and is worthy of the gospel by which we've been called? Today we're going to do something that we've done here before, and we will continue to do here, but it's slightly different. And if this is your first Sunday or you have never seen us do this before, I want to tell you, it's not the norm, but it's good. We are going to read an entire book of the Bible. Together, as a church family, we're going to sit and allow God's Word to wash over us. Now, when we went through Genesis, we didn't read through entire Genesis in a service. We typically do this for shorter books that we cover. We have just gotten done reading through and preaching through the book of 1 John. And so this may seem like a little bit of a whiplash for you, considering last week we covered one verse. And now this week we're going to read the entire book. But I want us to understand the importance of last week and this week. Last week, we zeroed in. We looked at the microscopic view of one single verse. And we spent a lot of time on one single verse. And now we zoom out and we have a telescope view. We see the big picture. We understand the small details in the Bible. And we also understand how those small details fit in the bigger picture. This is an example of how we should read and study our Bibles. On a weekly basis, we ought to be zeroing in on the details and zooming out and understanding the big picture of God's Word. 1 John, it's written by the disciple John. If you want to turn there, it's written by the disciple of John, and in his own gospel, the Gospel of John, he refers to himself as the beloved disciple. This is the disciple that is part of not just the 12, but he's part of the three, Peter, James, and John. He had this close-up view of Jesus' life and ministry. John was able to see firsthand who Jesus was. He heard what Jesus had to say. He watched what Jesus had to do, but he truly understood who Jesus was. A lot of scholars think, and I think it's appropriate for us to understand, that John is probably the youngest of all the disciples, and he certainly lived the longest. He's the only disciple that wasn't put to death by the authorities. Instead, he died at old age, probably in his early 90s. And he's writing to us, he's writing to the original audience here, this epistle of 1 John, he's probably writing it around 85 AD or so. So time has passed since Jesus has lived on this earth, died on the cross, rose from the grave, and ascended into heaven. A good amount of time has passed. In fact, enough time that now there are second and even third generation Christians that are running around. And these second and third generation Christians that John is writing to, these little children, as he tenderly refers to them as, these little children, they need to understand and be reminded of solid foundational truth about who Jesus is and what he's done. And for you and I, this is a good reminder as well. Because a lot of times in our life, we need refresher courses. We need to go back to the basics. We need to go back and refresh and renew our minds in what is truth, what is solid, what is foundational. We have a 10-month-old puppy at home. Do you know the amount of times I've told Ashley, man, she needs a tune-up. She needs a refresher course. She's trained, and she's trained really well, but that puppy brain, it just gets in there. We need to, okay, let's go back to basics. Sit down. Our puppy brain, it gets going sometimes, doesn't it? Because we look at life and we get consumed and concerned by all the distractions, all the junk that would weed its way into our life. We need a refresher. And John gives us this incredible refresher tune-up course here. In the midst of this book that is filled with themes of lights and lights, we are reminded of who the true God is. We are reminded of what it looks like to follow the true God. And we are warned to stay away from the deception, the false teachers. We are warned against false teaching. Folks, this is what we need for life and godliness. This is how you and I are to walk in truth. Let's begin reading in 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard and proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandments, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who is in the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away with all of its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. So now, many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that in this last hour, they went out from us, but they were not from us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, and that it might become plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is in the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, there is no lie. But as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident that who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is a commandment that we have believed in the name of the Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you had heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, that not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love God, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because he is, so also we are in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he cannot see, love God. How can he who does not love his brother, whom he cannot see, love God, whom he cannot see? And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of man, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God, he has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life to those who commit sins that do not lead to death. This is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who has been born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen? Are you blessed by the word of God? The really, really sweet thing that I got to encourage you guys with is as you're reading the Bible, as you're following on, as you listen to God's word, there may be things that you watch sail right over your head. There may be things that are so deep and so hard for you to grasp. I want to encourage you, don't stop reading. Continue to read God's word. Continue to allow it to wash over you and to soak into your soul. Because even if you don't understand every single little detail, God uses his word. This is a supernatural thing that God does. He implants his word in our hearts so that we may not sin against him. And so if there's something that you read and you don't quite get, I encourage you to do a couple of things. Read it again, pray about it, and then go to somebody who knows the Lord. Go to somebody who loves God's word and say, hey, can we talk about this? What is it that God is saying here? What is it that I need to walk away with? One of the most sweet things about being a dad is when my son goes, Dad, can we read the Bible? And there's a part of my brain that turns off for a minute. The part of my brain that turns off is, he's just saying this because he doesn't want to go to bed yet. I ignore that. And I focus on the fact that my 6-year-old wants to read the Bible with me, right? And there are many things that as we read, he will stop and say, what does that word mean? And I'll tell him and we'll keep moving on. And there's a lot of things that as I'm reading the Bible to him, I look at him and I go, does he get this? Should I stop and should I explain it to him? Should I break it down into 6-year-old words and 6-year-old understanding? And then I remember that God's word is living and active. I remember that God and his Holy Spirit, he can change that little boy's heart in a way that I could never dream of. And so a lot of times we have this distinctive default instinct to try to break God's words down into terms and ways that we can understand. And I think that's good. I mean, that's what we do on a Sunday morning, right? But I also say that if we pray, Lord, would you give me understanding? Would you help me to hide your word in my heart? Would you help me to understand this? Paul, he writes to the Corinthians, and he says, the natural man, he doesn't get this. God's word seems like foolishness to the natural man, but to the spiritual man, the Holy Spirit gives him understanding. And so while you're reading the Bible to your kids or reading the Bible to yourself, the prayer that we should pray is, Lord, would you give me understanding? Would you help me to understand what it is that your word is telling me, is teaching me? And Lord, would you help me to walk in truth? What we need. As we read 1 John, we are reminded of what truth is, who truth is, what it looks like if we are walking in the truth, and the incredible results that take place as a result of our living and walking in light of the truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. God, it is living and active and profitable for us. I pray that you would develop in our hearts and in our minds a desire and a joy for your word. We thank you for the book of 1 John and these 10 months that we've been walking through it. What a joy it's been to understand who you are, to really dive deep into understanding the truth of who you are, what you've done, and what you expect out of us, your kids. Lord, I thank you that you have given us clear expectations that if we say we love you, then we ought to follow your commandments. Lord, would you give us that ability? Would you create in us a desire to know, to love, and to follow you? It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.